So my apologies in advance if I'm clearing my throat or taking sips of water. I had a little bit of a cold, so it might get annoying, but bear with me. Okay, so today we're continuing with our series on the book of John, and we are going to be reading from John 3, verse 22 today. And basically the title of the message is Humility in Ministry. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there or we'll pull it up. So after this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Anon near Salem, because water was plentiful there and people were coming and being baptized. For John had not yet been put in prison. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness. Look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him. John answered, A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard. Yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. So I feel like I say this every time I do a preach, but what an amazing piece of scripture. And I just want to encourage some of you. The one thing I've learned while preaching in my very short time is to flesh out the scripture a little bit. So reading it, obviously you get a revelation. The Holy Spirit tells us what's going on. But what I've really found helpful is reading some commentaries. You know, getting the contextual and the historical reason behind the scripture. A lot of times there's been times where I've read a scripture and I thought, why is that in there? And then when you go and read, if you have a study Bible or a commentary Bible, there's a bit of an aha moment sometimes. You just get it. So I want to encourage you guys, when you read the word, don't just read scripture, go and study scripture. And if you need, you know, who's good commentaries, come and chat to any of the guys who do this on a regular basis. And the reason I'm mentioning that is because this is what happened with this scripture. It seems like such a simple scripture, but if you go and dig deeper, there's a few aha moments here that maybe just from reading it you wouldn't have known. So today we're looking at ministry. Now, if you are not on the leadership of a church, don't zone out. We are all ministers. We are all called to minister the gospel. Ministry just means to attend to the needs of somebody else, right? So that is for all of us. Jesus said to his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we are all called to priesthood. We are all called to the duties of a priest. So we can minister in his name. We can pray. We can intercede. We have a connection to God. So ministry is not necessarily just church leaders. So John and Jesus, we see here their ministry is starting to overlap. John's ministry is towards its end. He's the old order. Jesus is starting up. He's the new order. And John was quite famous at this point. In historical text, it says he was very popular with the common folk, with outcasts. Everybody knew who he was, whether you agreed with him or not. So he was well known. Jesus even says in Matthew 11 of John, he says there has been no one greater than John the Baptist. His disciples addressed him as Rabbi. Now, we know Rabbi is the Jewish religious leader. It means religious superiority. So just think about what it means to be a disciple of a rabbi. It was complete devotion of your life. You spent most of your time with them. You traveled with them. You learned what he learned. You thought what he thought. So they had pride in their rabbi and his ministry. The cost of living that kind of life is that this full devotion can give way to pride and fierce protection of the rabbi and his ministry. So you can kind of understand why they were getting upset. So you see in verse 26, they say to him, he who is with you across the Jordan, they are so enraged, they can't even mention Jesus' name. They, you know, think of it as them saying, well, you know who is kind of usurping you. You know who we're talking about. They're enraged. But in the same breath, they say to him, of him to whom you bore witness. So remember, Jesus was baptized. John had been a witness to the Holy Spirit descending as a dove and the Father saying, this is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. So they knew what had happened. They had known of Jesus. They had heard what John had said about Jesus. But they didn't quite know what was happening here. So John, as we know, had been filled with the Holy Spirit since he was in his mother's womb. So he recognized Christ when he came. John's disciples had not yet been filled with that Holy Spirit. So when we minister to people, just remember, if it's not Spirit-filled, if it's not Spirit-led, it's going to mean nothing. It's going to be empty words. It'll be clever illustrations. It'll be a nice sermon, but nothing is going to happen. So the power to proclaim Christ as the Messiah, as John could do, comes from the Holy Spirit. It's not about evoking emotions. So John's disciples were probably thinking Jesus was trying to build his ministry on John's ministry. But if we read a little bit further, John and Jesus' ministries were very different. John's ministry was all about repent, live holy lives, and be baptized. So getting yourselves ready, waiting for the Messiah, where Jesus' ministry was, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It was salvation. So John was baptizing people, and then if we read a little bit further in John 4, it actually says that Jesus' disciples were baptizing people. Lots of scriptures and historical texts are not sure if Jesus actually baptized people. And there are a few theories about why this could have been. One is there might have been division amongst believers if Jesus was baptizing. You know, you were baptized with Jesus, you were baptized by John, who's more superior, right? But I think the most important one is Jesus's job was not to baptize people by water. It was to baptize them by the Holy Spirit. It was the representation of Christ's death and resurrection. So totally different purposes. John even said in Matthew 3, verse 11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. So similar ministries both preach repentance, but Jesus preached salvation. I love how John then responds to his disciples in such humility. So if we read in verse 27, John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. So God, in his sovereign authority, gives ministry opportunities. It's never something we create. It's never something we earn. And John is saying there, it's not about me. It's not about us. He even says to them, I even told you, I'm not the Christ. So think of the Olympic torchbearer. You know, the person that runs with a torch in this Olympics will not be the same one that is in the next Olympics. The flame continues, the torchbearer changes, right? So John's ministry was to point people towards the Messiah. So being able to baptize and preach and disciple people, it's a gift. It's a gift given to us by God. We get to take part in that ministry. Very similar to what Bio said this morning, we get to take part. It's not about us, but we are part of it. So another time that we see where a different ministry gets set up and people get threatened is in Numbers. So we're going to go to Numbers 11. We'll start at verse 25. So basically what's happening here is Moses is appointing the elders. So he has called the 70 elders to the church of meeting, and we'll pick up from verse 25. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied. But they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, so they were not part of the meeting church, they were in the camp, named Eldad and the other named Medad. And the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. So they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said to him, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." So why do we get jealous or threatened by other ministries? Why? When churches are having massive events, people are getting saved and baptized. When worship teams make albums out of their songs that lead people deep into God's presence, we should echo John's words, "Behold the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world." That is what it's about. So John goes on to share the picture of a wedding, bride and groom. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever gone to a wedding to see the best man. Has anybody ever thought, well, what is the best man going to wear? And if you have, you're a little weird. The wedding day is about the bride and the groom. The best man's role is supportive. He is part of the planning, the organizing. He does what the groom tells him to. So maybe his job is to get the groom to the church on time, or in Craig's case, making sure he can stop crying so you can see the bride coming down the aisle. I have proof. Come and ask me later. So John realized his role was to get the bride ready. His role is to make the bride as beautiful as she can be for the groom, but knowing that the groom will still love her, doesn't matter what she looks like. So the joy of the best man is seeing the joy of the groom being united with his bride. So what's very clear here is there's no problem in John's heart with Jesus' ministry being more superior. He says, "The day is finally here. My joy is complete." So his ministry is ending. We know shortly after this, John gets put in prison. Some believe this is his final words in public. Jesus' ministry was just beginning. And this is where reading a commentary might flesh it out a little bit. There's actually a physical leaving that takes place. So if you look at this, John was working in Judea. He had then moved on to Samaria, and Jesus had started his ministry in Judea. So John left the area. So there's a physical yielding and not just a spiritual yielding. So doesn't it make just more sense when you see it like that, right? It's not just words. There's a purpose to what's being written in the word. So there's no question in John's mind what must happen. He says he must increase and I must decrease. It is necessary to happen. It must happen for the kingdom of God to advance. So far, it's pretty simple. He's just telling them, guys, it's not about us. It's not about me. The next few verses is actually a bit of a mic drop moment for me. John basically goes on to explain the gospel, and I can't help but wonder if people had just stopped, listened, and believed, that would have been it. Jesus wouldn't have had to go through everything, because John just lays out the gospel here. But John knew that Jesus's ministry would be difficult. He even says, "Yet no one receives his testimony." So he knew that Jesus had to go through all of this. So what is the mic drop moment? So the first thing is, he says he came from above and is above all things. So very interesting. And again, this is where fleshing out the scripture just gives you more of a meaning to it. So the word above is mentioned twice. There's a reason for this. There's two meanings to the word above in Greek. The first one is anothein, which means from above, beginning or top. The second one is epano, which means rank or place. So can you see how using the words twice, he's not just saying he is better, he's saying he's from the heavens, he's from the top, he's God. He's putting him in the place of superiority. So you see how specific scripture is. So specific. Okay, so that's number one. He says he came from above, he is above all things. Number two, he has more experience and knowledge than John. Let's read in verse 32. He says, he bears witness to what he has seen and heard. Number three, he tells the truth. Verse 33 says, whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. Number four, he knows God's wills and way. For he who God has sent utters the words of God. Number five, the Holy Spirit was given to him with no limit. 34, for the one whom, for he gives the Spirit without measure. So remember, John, as we said, had the Holy Spirit from the time when he was in his womb. He had a measure of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus had the full anointing. He had the full measure of the Spirit. So he's just showing he has more than I have. He knows more. He is God. And that's point number six. He is the Son of God. He says in verse 35, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Number seven is eternal life is only through Jesus. So he says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. I find it so interesting how the word changes there from whoever believes to whoever does not obey. So basically what he's saying there is to believe is to obey. So the gospel is not a suggestion, it's a command. Believe and obey. So if we want to minister to people, the first law of ministry is humility. So we see in 1 Peter 5, verse 5. We're going to read from there. I think it'll come up. So Peter's talking here to elders and shepherds, but he's also talking to just the congregation in general. And we're going to just read towards the end. He says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. So the point of ministry is never about us. It all is about Jesus. It all is about his superiority. We have to humble ourselves, and if we become proud, may the Holy Spirit work in us. I remembered one of the equips, Ken, I think it was Ken Renfell, he said, the anointing can be very tempting, I think. Exhilarating, yes. So be aware that when we start to minister to people and we see things happen, it's not about us. It's all about God and his Spirit. We don't have to defend our ministry. It's not about us in any way, right? God's love for us is based on his eternal love for his Son. And we've received the invitation to the wedding. But there's so many more that need to hear the gospel. So many more that we need to help. So can we take joy in ministry today? It is a joy. And then one day we can say our joy is finally complete.